For joining us online, we are in a series of God's Exit Strategy, the book of Exodus, and tonight is frogs. Last time we talked about the turning rivers to blood, water to blood, etc. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Exodus 8:1, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and to the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and to thine ovens, and to all thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Not sure how they saw which ones were which, but there you go. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me, from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Moses said unto Pharaoh, and here's a phrase I've always wondered exactly what it meant, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may refrain in the river only? And you'd think he'd say, just right now, as soon as possible. No. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from the servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from the Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. I can imagine so. When Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, help me this evening. I confess I am nothing and you are everything. May you forgive me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Please this evening bless Cindy as she teaches downstairs. Thank you, Lord, that we have children to teach. Bless our church. May we go forward for you. Lord, so many requests. Bless the Childresses and they're here and settling up his dad's things. May you watch over them and give them abundant fruit for their labor with this Pastor Carlos who's having, Lord willing, surgery this week. Lord, you are the God across the universe, across our world. You know all that's going on. You, Lord, you know my heart. The hearts there. Lord, if we just would want to sit down and listen, all of us have severe difficulties and things we're struggling with. Thank you that one day we will be with you forever and this will not be happening. We'll enjoy serving you for all time. And so, Lord, I pray you bless the service tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, first of all, we see the destructiveness of pesty, plotting seekers, and secondly, the devastating things of people's personal space. And so there we go. So, first of all, we see the directive in first four verses, and the Lord spake unto Moses, here's what I want you to do. Now, Pharaoh is provided an opportunity, a window of getting things right. The divine mercy of God through the mediation of Moses, Pharaoh has failed every test so far. The blood, water to blood, he didn't repent. He didn't repent from before they even started the plagues. And now God gives him yet another sign. He rejected the snakes and the rods sign. He rejected the water to blood. And through Moses' mediation, God gives Pharaoh yet another chance. Pharaoh rejected, though, that offer of mercy, and now we're going to have the amphibious assault. The frog plague comes on, and it's ordered by God. Verse 3, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. Wearsby says, the fact that there were still frogs in the river indicates, now what? Last week, the water was all blood. So evidently, the blood has faded out. I think it was, 1 week it happened, and that's cleared out, and the frogs have multiplied again. So now there's frogs in the water. So this doesn't happen like boom, boom. You know, 1-3 days, and 3 days later, no, it's like over possibly the period of a year, 9 months to a year, did all the plagues happen to get the people ready, get Pharaoh ready, get the people ready to leave. And so we understand all that from last few times. So if the water had still been blood, the frogs had been dead. Now, abundantly here, if you remember back in chapters 1, verse 7, I can't remember back that far, reminding you how the Israelites increased greatly and they multiplied. The same word here, the idea, the frogs, just like you're going to look at the Nile River. All of a sudden, is that river moving? It looks like it's advancing. What is that? Are those frogs oh my goodness, have you ever seen so many frogs in your life? And they were going, it's like the multiplication of frogs. I remember up in Ely, I think it was Skidway Island, Dave. I was standing on, I think it was there, not sure. And I would stop and be like, there's no boat going by. I hear looking around. Hear buzzing. And I look up into the tops of the trees. There's so many mosquitoes, you can actually hear them buzz. I don't remember. It was one of the last few trips. Oh, my goodness. I've never heard mosquitoes before, but look how many there are. And thank the Lord they stayed up in the tops of the trees and didn't come flying down to us. There's enough already. And so that's the idea. Look, the frogs are coming up out of the water. They're going to infiltrate everything. They're in the beds. Interesting, I like what Butler says. For sin stops our rest. The frogs were in the food. How much sin is found in what we put into our mouths, from the booze to the poisonous pills to fentanyl, etc. Did you know, since Oregon has relaxed their laws on drugs, that the suicide as a result of overdose is up 700%. 700%. And we think that legalizing what has been previously illegal drugs will solve problems. It does not. It does not solve problems. It only creates more. You can't go against God's clear directives. What is good for mankind, expect that to be a good thing. Sports betting has become such is it going to be good for our nation? No. Gambling is not good for our nation, no matter how you want to paint it or color it. But pastor, how much money's been given to education? How many lives are ruined because of the gambling epidemic in our own nation across the world? So it was in their beds, it was in their mouths, it was in their ears, the incessant croaking. Rawlinson said, this particular kind of frog of this plague has the scientific name of Rana mosaica and croaks perpetually. Sin does not produce pleasant sounds, and I think of something that's almost even passe now is the power of rock and roll music. I remember Brother Fox, it's probably the greatest stronghold in America and the world, rock and roll. And you hardly even hear about rock and roll music. We've got so many other things. We don't even realize the fallout. I think it's 40% of those who listen to rock and roll music early on have hearing damage, hearing loss. But it's the spiritual. Look, I know you may not agree with all that. I'm telling you, though, the basic premise of rock and roll music is not godly. None of it is. It isn't. It is the purpose. And ask the guy from Kiss, who's very famous now. I can't remember his name now. But why did we have rock and roll music? It's not Christian. It isn't. And so we had all this. So the world's music. How about the Egyptians? Now, they relied on their god, Hekek, whatever, Hequt. And she was in charge of the crocodiles. Why is that so important? It is because crocodiles ate the frogs. And so keep the population of frogs down. Now, why is that important? Because the frog was a god to the Egyptians. So they weren't allowed to kill the frogs. Okay, hop in my bowl here. Just, oh, you like it there? Sit right there and I'll eat around you. I'll eat my frosted flakes around you, Mr. Frog, because we can't kill you. So they relied upon the crocodiles to keep the frog under control. So this god, Hekek, whatever you call it, she was humiliated. The plague proved that she was powerless to resist the mighty Lord God. And also the frogs were upon the people in verse 4. Sin destroys beauty, corrupts, contaminates, makes ugly, and ages the body. Yes, and the frogs were everywhere, just like sin is everywhere. Think for just a moment. If God loosed some spiritually entombed frogs, and they jumped and hopped into wherever you had allowed sin into your life. What about the frogs came on the Christians today across America, and they filled up the spots where sin was abounding or was part of the Christian's life? Can you imagine where they would hop? Every nook and cranny. Butler says, sin is everywhere, in the mouths, in the minds, and in the manners of people. They were overhopped, not overrun, but overhopped with frogs. We've seen the events of the past few weeks. Was there not even shootings with again today, more shootings or last night? And how our country is just, we're gone adrift. We're gone adrift from God, it seems, in so many ways. You relax your standards. You boot out the police in Seattle, Washington, and now there's not enough police, just in the paper this week, not enough police to look over those who have been raped and abused. There's not enough police to even take the cases. You're putting on a waiting list to find a policeman who will be able to start asking you questions about what happened to you. And they don't have enough resources. I wonder why. Is it because we act like animals and just let our passions run wild in America? It does not work to let people do what they want to do. Give people freedom. It's like if my cat gets on the thing here. Here comes the cat again. He's eating lunch today, and he gets up. First, he jumps up on the side, and then he sort of leans, and I'm holding him back like this, and then he puts a paw around here and puts a paw around here, and later he jumps on this side, and he has, get off, be nicely, somewhat nicely, and then he puts a paw up here. He's put the paw on my tray. And if I'm not careful, that's not satisfactory. He'll climb on my tray where my food is. Pastor, you know how to do it. Just kick him off. I know. It's an illustration. And sin is never satisfied. If you give into this, oh, we want this. We want that. And we give up this part of your Second Amendment right. Well, that's just going to be part of, and we're coming for this. We'll give up that. We want this. And we want this. Sin is, and I know it's, sin is a devious thing. The frogs have covered everything. We cannot give in. We cannot compromise. Compromise is just look at our own immorality. The LGBTQ crowd started with this, and now it's this. Now you've got to approve it. And not only got to approve it, you've got to make it law. Not only got to make it law, you've got to punish. And now is, if you don't, schools is a truly proposed bill. If schools in some areas, not sure what areas, but if schools do not sign on and promote this, we're going to cut your funding for your food for your children. If you don't acquiesce, it's ESG score. If your company now doesn't acquiesce to the Green Deal and they're doing certain things, well, you're just out. It's coming to us, by the way. It's going to affect us how many loans you can get. If it doesn't, things don't change, I'm telling you, it's coming to our own country. It's already here. So that is the directive. There is the deeds. The Lord spake unto Moses, verse 5, saying unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams and over the rivers and over the ponds and cause frogs to come up, etc. Now, why the frogs would croak in Egypt? We understand then the full significance of this plague. This goddess who controlled the frogs was shown to be ineffective because all these frogs come up. They weren't allowed to kill the frogs. It was a symbol of depraved worship. And now not only what they liked or worshiped, they now loathe because these dead frogs are everywhere. And they're going to pile them in heaps and start burning them, etc. The stink. They had imputed to the frog powers of fertility. So again, as the first plague, God is punishing Egypt in the coin in which it sinned. It worshiped the god as a god of fertility. And it's, again, multiplied. They increased this huge number. So that was the directive, the deed. And how about the duplication in verse 7? And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land. If you read a little bit later, it says, though, that they were not able to do the frogs. The frogs they brought up. You'd think, though, if they were going to do something good, they would say, okay, we're going to remove half the frogs. But no, we've got more frogs coming up. So we got the frogs from God. We got the frogs from the Egyptians, magicians. And there they go. It's abundant. Clever arguments to keep men from repenting of their sins are so often put forth. Well, things are going to get better, or do this or do that, instead of, no, we need to repent of our sins and get right. The discussion then in verse 8. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me for my people, and I will let the people go. The plague got to Pharaoh. For the first time, Moses encounters Pharaoh. He backs down a little bit. Okay, if you'll just remember the blood, he just simply left and went back home. Here, please entreat your God that they'll be taken away. Verse 9, chapter 8, verse 9. And Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people? Destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. And he said, tomorrow. What an insane answer. Why wait for tomorrow? I want them gone right now. He could have another night sleep with the frogs yet one more night. But sin is ever stupidly acting in its procrastination. May many in life imperiling habits, they put off stopping these habits, even though they're imperiling their lives. entreat in verse 8. He wanted, please remove the frogs if you can. When? Tomorrow. Bargaining with God, though, is a habit of man, but it is not a good habit. It's a bad habit. It would make God's command subservient to our conditions. Lord, God's going to do, we need to get in line with Him. This is the way to do this. We're going to be obedient to do what God has said. And there's death, directive, deed, duplication, discussion, and death. And when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. And in verse 14, they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. I just imagine they burned them. I don't know, but they gathered them together. Perhaps they weren't even allowed to burn the bodies of the frogs. Can you imagine how much that would stink, even one or two frogs? Can you imagine piles upon piles upon piles it would be? The insincerity of the request. Oh, just relieve me of my problem. And when the problem is, I don't think I want to do it now. How many foxhole decisions have we seen among Christians? Now, what is a foxhole decision? For the younger folks, perhaps you're in the army and you're in a foxhole. And Lord, if you just rescue me out of this, and if I survive to get back home, I'll serve you. How many times have Christians got emotionally involved? I will do this. I will start tithing. I will start doing this. I'll start reading your word. And then before we know it, we've gone back to the same old things we were doing in the past. He said, let him go. I'll let him go if you just relieve me of this. I thought for a message title is, what is your spiritual stench? The sin causes an unholy stench to permeate a land and an individual. I wonder what stench we have coming up from America. It's wafting up from America even now. I heard this week that the greatest threat, the biggest killer of our children in America is guns. I tell you, it's abortion. Hands down, abortion kills far more kids on one day. Do you realize that only 1/10 or 100%, 99% of the murders of America are not through mass shootings? 99% are not through mass shootings. Now, I really am grieved, and I know you are, for those who've lost their lives, especially the children. But I'm telling you, it's 99% is not through mass shootings, and yet we see. It's tweaked. We hear what people say, what the majority say, and we're not looking at the whole scene. But what is the stench of sin? What's the stench of sin? There was a very well-known pastor in Indiana who was incarcerated right over here in Ashland for several years, just released in the last few months. I know this pastor for one thing, the fact that he did wrong, and he was incarcerated for it, is now released. For the rest of his life, I know him for one thing. Josh Duggar, who was very famous, they had the 19 children, 19, I forget what the name of the show, and at first everybody was, well, it's a wonderful show, a wonderful family. I know Josh Duggar for one thing now, children pornography. The judge says it was the worst pornography I'd ever seen in his life. And he was given, my personal opinion, a very lenient sentence for what he did. But that's what, you see, the stench hangs on the rest of his life. Whenever I see his picture, I'm going to think of one thing. He may have been a wonderful father when he started out. I don't know. But from his history, I don't think there was a lot of time where he was really a good person. You and I, what is it that we are displaying to the world? The frogs left a stench. I wonder what is our spiritual stench today. I hope it's a sweet savor that God enjoys. That would be what we want. So that's the destructiveness of the pesky, plotting seekers. Secondly, is the devastation of the people's personal space. And we start there in verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now you tell me, between 15 and 16, what is noticeably absent? What is noticeably absent between 15, we solved the first two plagues. That is noticeably absent with this one. There's no what? Warning. Before, he goes to Pharaoh. If you don't do this, here comes the blood. If you don't do this, here comes the frogs. No, listen, you're getting this. You didn't listen the first two times. Here they come. And by the way, as Keely and Dieselich says, these lice are species of gnats, so small as to be hardly visible to the eye, but with a sting which cause a most painful irritation of the skin. They even creep into the eyes and nose. They have in New Jersey, I remember when I was dating my wife in the early 1983, 1984, they have no seams. And you know what those are? Those little flies that are so small and you don't even see them. They get, oh, ouch, ouch. Can you imagine now? Here comes the, now we think of lice as what you find in your hair, and there's these nits in here and you're looking through here. Look, is there any in here like that? I don't have enough hair. I don't think to have anybody in there. Thank goodness for that. That's one good positive. I don't have any lice on top of my head. So there we go. But these are more than what we think about lice. These are like gnat type things, biting, stinging insects that penetrate the nostrils and the ears of the victims. It would drive you bonkers. Have you ever been gotten by a cloud of flies, especially if you go up north and canoe up north in Minnesota and Michigan, there's clouds of flies. Mosquitoes. I remember we'd go to somewhere to try to find a camp for our week of fishing, and a cloud of mosquitoes would go up. We don't want to go there. So go somewhere, and it's like, whoa. And they're whining that. And we've all done that. Can you imagine over and over? Terrible creatures. So there's the directive in verse 16. Stretch out thy rod, smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Unlike the first two plagues, there is no warning. Just Pharaoh, here it comes. And it doesn't even say that. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy, without warning, without mercy. We've got some stiff-necked people in our own land today that are determined to, it's bipartisan. The people in our land who are determined not to surrender themselves to God. Don't ignore God's warnings. Don't play the fool and think that since no recent warning has happened, we are okay. You will miss the warnings. Well, I've run my lawnmower for a long time, and I've heard it can run with no oil. Here, my lawnmower's getting really low. I think it'll get, my oil's only that high. I think it'll keep running. And about this time next year, I started up and it seizes up. Well, you were warned. You know better. If you don't keep oil in your lawnmower, the motor's going to seize and it completely stops, and you have to buy a new motor for your mower or a new mower. You will miss the warnings of God's word if you do not read it. It's no wonder there's so much anti-Semitism in the world, but they've never read God's word, how he says that he's going to bless those that bless Israel and curse those who... If you just read what God has said, we don't need that. That's just old-fashioned. So yesteryear, Pastor, God's word, they might think. We're going to miss what's being taught. The directive, and how about the deviance? 17. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the lands of Egypt. In effect of this plague was the bodies stopped the Egyptians from worshiping. They were so much about the outward appearance, from what I understand. And you can imagine these gnats and these no-see-em things get all over their bodies. They would shave at least every third day to keep their head shaved so there wouldn't be any outward impurities on their body, because that's part of their worship of their gods, etc. So when these small things started lining up on their arms and everything and on their head and on their bald heads, etc., it was disrupted their worship. Imagine the itching, the sores, the infections, and it made this ritual shaving impossible. Pink says, this blow was aimed more directly at the persons of the Egyptians. Their bodies covered with lice was a sore rebuke to their pride. Herodotus refers to the cleanliness of the Egyptians. He says, so scrupulous were the priests on this point that they used to shave their heads and bodies every third day for fear of harboring vermin while occupied in their sacred duties. As another has said, this stroke would therefore humble their pride and stain their glory, rendering them objects of dislike and disgust. End of quote. Do you see how God is going to address their different gods of Egypt with these plagues? When Aaron smote the ground, the dust became lice, these stinging, biting insects, if you would. But they were under God's curse. So the Egyptians were stopping their worship. Their chickens have come home to roost. They judge one by the cleanliness of their bodies. We are judged really by we ought to keep our bodies clean, yes. The cleanliness of our spirits, our souls. Are we right with God? The directive, the deviance, and how about the duplication in 18? And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. But they could not. So they relied upon man and upon beast. Now, again, I don't know why they would even try to bring forth more lice. We've got enough of those things around here already. It's like mosquitoes. I don't know why anyone would want to bring forth more mosquitoes. There are enough for you and me and my grandparents and my mom. There's enough ever for everybody already of those mosquito things. I guess the birds like them. And possums, I think, like mosquitoes. Don't they possums like mosquitoes? I'm not sure. Or is it ticks they like? I'm not sure. They like things that we want to get rid of. So there we have the misery. To relieve this misery, they should have said, okay, we're going to do away with the lice, but no. But they couldn't do it. How small a matter the Lord used to bring confusion upon these magicians. As soon as God restrained them, they were helpless. Turn the water into blood, they could do that. They bring more frogs, they could do that. But when God says no, he says no, you can't do this. And we'll see in just a minute their response. Well, the response is in verse 18. This is the finger of God. Pharaoh, let's just take just a step back. And by the way, that's the last words they say. From what I understand. This is the finger of God. Let's take just a step back and see, why are these things happening? Oh, that we would in our own... Well, let's take a few steps back. Why are we... What is the real reason? Could it be possibly that our families, we've just let go of the family unit, that we said anything makes a marriage, anything makes a family here, and just live how you want to live and call whatever you want to call, whatever you want to call it, and we're all good with that, and we've got to rejoice, and we've got to support it, we've got to celebrate. Is it possibly that had anything to do with how our young people are feeling and doing? I think it would. The declaration, finally. And the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart melted, and he submitted, and he surrendered, and he paid the Israelites to go to the Canaan, to go to the land of Canaan. And he said, good riddance. Thank you for serving with us. Thank you for all you've done for us. We appreciate that. Matter of fact, we're going to give every family $500,000 to leave. Is that what it says? No, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. No, you are not going to go. But this is interesting. I like what Pink says. This admission, the finger of God. These are the last recorded words. In the end, they were obliged to acknowledge the hand of God. So will it be in that last great day with the devil himself and with all his hosts and victims. They too will have to bow before the Lord and publicly confess the supremacy of the Almighty. Can you imagine Satan himself having to surrender and to bow before God, and he who has caused such drama and sin throughout all mankind's history, every time we'll confess, Jesus is Lord. I tell you, it's a good thing to do it now instead of waiting till then. I trust you've done that. What a striking correspondency, if that is a word, between this third plague and John chapter 8. Do you remember John chapter 8, the woman taking adultery, and the scribes are there, and the Pharisees and scribes are accusing her, this woman's taking adultery, what do you say? And the Savior responds, and he writes on the ground. And he takes his finger, and we don't know what he writes on the ground, but after he writes on the ground and raises up, they go out one by one, from the oldest until the youngest, because this is the finger of God. We can't go against that. He's got us on this. We are undone. And they went out from the youngest to the oldest to the youngest. He rolled into dust. And he was left standing alone with the adulteress. Pharaoh's going to be left standing alone. If he had just stopped here and said, okay, three plagues, I'm done. Three and out. Take them and go. I don't want to see you anymore. But he waits until nine. After nine, the darkness, he still says no. And then comes the death. I want to say death angel, but the angel of death, the death giver, the death bringer comes, and he loses his firstborn. If he had just gone then. I like what humorously Swindoll says, if I had been a magician in that place, I would have packed my magic bag and caught the next flight out of Cairo. Furthermore, I would have sent my resume to every king of the civilized world saying, enough is enough. I've got to get out of here. This is the finger of God. We are overmatched here. And by the way, they are. And by the way, the world, our world who stands and shakes their fist at God, you're overmatched. He is the Lord of it all. He is the king of Nebuchadnezzar and all kings. He is the Lord of all lords.
And he is the master. He's the Pharaoh of all Pharaohs, if you would. He rejected the message of the plague. He rejected his revered magician's message about the plague. When a man is set on a course for sin, all testimony and warnings to the contrary avail to nothing. Sin deadens the soul and makes it a fool in conduct. We talk about Adolf Hitler, how much he's going to be held responsible, and how much this person, how much Pharaoh is going to be held responsible for his own country. The firstborn of every family dies. You talk about a man when he stands before God who's going to be held responsible for his own people. There he is. And by the way, you and I are going to stand before God, not for loss of salvation or be sent to hell, but what did you do? What did you do with what I gave you? Rewards? Loss of rewards. Have we been sold out to God? You think we'd have woken up? So far, it's Jehovah 3, Pharaoh, goose egg. Oh, but think about our own land. We wake up, America. Was that Earl Pitts used to say that? We've not woken up yet. We're still, some of us have. Some of us have never not went to sleep. But there's a lot that need to wake up. May we see the hand of God and repent. I trust you're praying for repentance in our lives as his children and the lives of our nation. I trust that you're doing that. Let's pray together. Lord, we think of this amphibious assault. The lice that occupied so much part of their lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to not be like Pharaoh, to not be like the people of that era, and reject your clear what is happening in our own world. May our people, may our leaders, may those who are so far apart from you and going such a contrary direction, wake up. May they turn to you. May someone bring the gospel to them. May they listen to a pastor preach the gospel. May they, Lord, your Holy Spirit would work in the lives of our leaders of our own nation, our own county, our own state, of our own churches, of our own pastors. Help us not to compromise. Lord, the road to compromise never ends. You start here, and before you know it, you're down in the depths, so far from where you are. Now, you never intended to be there, but that's the first step. It's a slippery slope. May we not even start that. So, Lord, help us this week that we would hold forth the truth of life in word and deed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.